Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12, and we're going to be reading from verse number 46. Matthew chapter number 12, we're going to read from verse number 46 through to verse number 50. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hands towards his disciple and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." Verse 50. "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother." For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, the one that commands light to shine out of darkness, thank you for another privilege in your presence to soak in your word this morning. The word in here is not mine, it's not ours, it's yours. Therefore, you are the only one that can better explain it to us in a way that is going to connect with us, connect with our heart, connect with our situation, fit in into the context of our experience. And therefore, Lord, I ask that you would do that this morning. I pray, O Lord, for an anointing upon the ears and the hearts of your people, that, Lord, you're going to speak to them in a way that is going to connect with them, connect with their situation. Lord, I ask for an anointing upon me, and that you make my tongue to become right now like the pen of a ready writer. Let your word distill as the rain. Let it drop as the dew of the morning this morning. Let this word, O Lord, encourage us, empower us. The Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal as Jesus taught. Lord, let the power of the Lord be present as I teach your word this morning, so that every one of us will be touched by your power and we're going to be met at the point of our needs in such a way, O Lord, that we're going to get transformed more and more into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, because you're going to do this and much more, because we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. In the community where I grew up as a child, there is this pattern of greetings. So when people will meet one another, they will start with something like, "How are you doing?" And just as you are answering that question, the second one usually follows. And the second one is simply, "How is your family? How is your family?" Now, like many greetings of search, no one actually waits to hear what you're going to say. They just assume that you're going to say they're fine, or we're fine, or everything is well, you know. And so when you say anything contrary or anything different, to that, people are like, "What are you talking about?" Now, but that as it may, it is indeed a very thoughtful question to ask people how their family is doing. How is your family doing? You know, how is your family? How is your family doing? How are the kids doing? You know, I think it's a very thoughtful question to ask, because many of us, especially including those of you that are, you know, watching us this morning, many of us will have felt better if our family was doing better this morning. If to say that your family is doing very great this morning, I'm sure that some of you would not actually be having this kind of weight and this kind of pressure that some of you are experiencing this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm tempted to say that is perhaps even more important to ask about how your family is doing first before we ask us how you're doing. Now, I say that on a light note because, like I said, I'm tempted to say that, and simply because some of us are actually feeling the way we are feeling because our family seem to be going through certain things or the other. Now, I said all of that to reiterate the fact to you that the family is very important. Family is very important in the grand scheme of things when it comes to our life and our experiences. In fact, the other day I was reading an article, and it was talking about the experience of elderly people in Japan, isolated elderly people in Japan, and that they have this service that they call Rent a Family Service, whereby people can actually request for a family member to join them, maybe on special occasion or maybe for a kind of their lunch. So they will call for, you know, any member of the family that they so desire, you know, because their immediate family are not around. So that you call for a son or a daughter or you call for a grandchild to come to you. Now, I was reading it and I was like, I hope this is not true, but because the source appeared to be credible, it appears it might actually be true. So when the person shows up, what they will just do is that they will just greet you as if they haven't seen you in years. You know, and then of course you pay for the service. I understand it's not even cheap, you know, it's not a cheap service to run. The person who founded it in 1990, and a business seems to be going very well. That tells you that the family is quite very important. This morning we're starting a series we have titled, How is Your Family? How is Your Family? And the purpose of this teaching is to teach on all things related to the families, specifically looking at the family through the lens of the person who put it together. Don't forget the idea about the family, the idea of the family is not our idea, it is not the government's idea, it's not even our ancestors' idea, it is God's idea. So it is important that we actually ask the person who put the family together what was in his heart and what is still in his heart, because the idea has not changed. The same purpose that it was then is what it is now. What is high there about the family? Perhaps that will help us to recalibrate, especially with the way we manage our own family. Now, don't forget that there are three important institutions that are made or that are put together, founded by God himself. The first one being the marriage, the institution of marriage, from where you obviously get family. You know, the second one is the civil governance or the civil authority. And the third one is the church of God. Now, the wholeness of all these three institutions that I've just talked about is marriage, which, like I said, is actually what produces the family. So you can say the family has been around for a long time, longer than any other institution founded by God or man. So this is a very important thing. Now, the holders of this, like I said, is the church. So it was actually family first. Family first. And by the way, that's actually the title of today's message. I'm preaching on family first. Now, when people talk about family first, this is a common phrase. It's a fairly familiar expression, family first. And when people talk about that, we tend to have this idea to convey the fact that our family is key, is primary, is more important than any other thing, is more important than money, is more important than pleasure, is more important than position, is more important than privileges. To us, it's more important, perhaps even more than life. I mean, some of us are very willing to give up our life for our family. That's how important our family is to us. And I guess this is actually true, this is valid. And I think that position, if it's taken by any person, should be commended. It's a commendable position, should be applauded, provided it is not pushed too far, provided it is not put out of sync. Now, listen to me, people of God. I'm sure you are asking the question. So what do you mean by being pushed too far? What do you mean by pushed out of sync? Maybe we should ask Jesus. And I think it is important that we ask Jesus. We're going to be asking Jesus this morning what his idea about what we refer to as the family is. And like I said, his idea about family today is not too different from what it was even before now. Now, don't forget Jesus, when he lived on earth, did not actually have a family. He did not raise a family of his own. In other words, he did not have children. He did not have a wife. But having said that, that still does not give, that is, this still does not remove the authority and the power and the ability to speak into the family situation and to the context of what we're discussing this morning, which is the family from Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus actually happened to be part of the Godhead. And when the Godhead was actually meeting, by Godhead I mean the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when the Godhead was meeting together to actually bring to pass and bring into existence what we refer to as the creation, Jesus, as the second person of the Godhead, was there. So Jesus was part of the Godhead, and they put together this idea called the family. So what's Jesus' idea about the family? You know, there are instances when some certain things happen and it's just in a flash, you know. It's just a statement. It's just a simple statement that is made, but it captures the entire heart of the person that is making that statement regarding the subject matter being discussed. And that's what we have found this morning in Matthew chapter 12, the passage we have just read. Jesus actually had an encounter with the people and with his family, and he made certain statements that capture his heart regarding family. Now, Matthew chapter 12 talks about Jesus having a kind of a meeting. So Jesus was actually preaching or having a teaching session in a particular place. And so his family members came around. The Bible says the mother and his brothers, they came around to meet or to speak with Jesus. Now, let me just quickly say that Jesus actually, when he lived on earth, had brothers, as in biologically related, in the sense that they were born by Mary. So Jesus was not the only person that was born by Mary. After Jesus was given birth to, Mary actually conceived and had other children. Now, these were his brothers. Obviously, we will say that they don't share the same father, because Jesus' father is God. Okay, so Jesus doesn't have an earthly father in that sense. But we know that somebody performed the role of a father in the person of Joseph. Now, I said all of that to let you know that Jesus actually had people that you can refer to as his siblings. So these siblings of Jesus, together with his mother Mary, they came to Jesus where he was having some teaching session with certain people. And so they made a request to talk to Jesus. As a matter of fact, this particular passage is also found in Mark chapter number 3. Now, when you look at it in Matthew chapter number 12, you will have the idea that the people or the family came to actually meet with Jesus and talk to him and just have a quick chat. But if you actually read through the account of Mark chapter number 3, you will discover that it wasn't that the family came to meet with Jesus, to speak to him and just have a chat and go back home. No, that was not exactly what happened. What is happening here is that the family have come around to ask Jesus to come out from where he was, because they actually want to take him away. Now, look at what the Bible says in Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter number 3, verse number 21. Look at what it says first in verse 31. Mark 3, 31. Still the same account, but we're reading the account of Mark now. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. Now, so the idea here is that his family stay outside of where he was preaching. Actually, the place was jam-packed, such that there were not enough room for many people to come in. But more importantly was that they actually wanted Jesus to come out to meet with them. Why did they ask Jesus to come out to meet with them? It's not too far-fetched. It's kind of linked to what happens in verse number 21. Look at what the Bible says in verse 21. Verse 21, that's 10 verses before 31. The Bible says, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. Now, let me put all of those together so that it makes some sense to you. Now, his family appear to have come to Jesus here to say, Jesus, what you're doing, I think you are running mad. Don't forget, before now, or around this time, the scribes and the Pharisees, they have accused Jesus that he was actually possessed by demons. And so his family felt he was running out of his mind. He was beside himself, to put it straight, that Jesus was running mad. So they had come to actually take him home, as it were. Come out to us. We're going to talk some sense to you, and we're going to take you home. So that's the idea of what was going on in the background. And listen to what Jesus said in verse number 48. But he answered and said to the one who told him. So somebody had come to him and said, Jesus, your family, they're outside, they're waiting for you. They want to talk to you. Jesus says, but he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Now, three key things that I quickly want us to run through this morning that I believe is going to be of tremendous blessing to you. Jesus is going to be teaching us three important things. Now, number one, Jesus is teaching here, one, appreciate existing family orders. We need to appreciate the existing family orders. Now, what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is saying here, folks, I need you to appreciate that there are family orders. What do I mean by family orders? Others talk about arrangement, the types. Jesus is here saying that from what he said, you can glean from it that there are not just one family order, but two family orders. What are they? There is the biological, physical family order, and there is a spiritual family order. Now, Jesus said here in verse number 48, look at what he says, but he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hands towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Now, just before you begin to crucify Jesus, I say that because, of course, Jesus was crucified. But what I mean is before you start attacking Jesus, how come Jesus was this disrespectful to his family? Jesus loved his family. Jesus loved his family. Even at the point of death, Jesus did not hesitate to hand over the care of his mother to a disciple. Now, think about that. Somebody was about to breathe his last, and he was still thinking about how to take care of his mother because he knew he was passing away. So he needed to get somebody else to begin to look after the mother after he had gone. So Jesus, without any hesitation, I can say Jesus actually loved his family. But Jesus is saying something else here, which is important. Now, Jesus is saying for the first time for many people that are listening to him, look, I don't just have a physical, biological family. I also have a spiritual family. So there are orders. There are two different family orders here. That's why I said appreciate family orders. There is an order according to the flesh, which is biological, which is physical, which I believe every one of us belong to one way or the other because no one just jumped out of heaven. But aside from that, there is another dimension. There is another order of the family called spiritual family. And Jesus is here saying, you know, I've got a father. Other than Joseph, I've got a father. And I've got brothers and sisters. I've got brethren, you know, other than those ones outside. Now, what am I saying? Two family orders. You are born into one and you are born again into the other. Listen to me, I'll say that again. You are first born into one and then you are born again into the other. So you are first born into a physical family and then you get born again into a spiritual family. So verse 49 is saying this. Look at what he says. And he stretched out his hands towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Here are my brothers and my mother. Now, in other words, Jesus is saying, no offense to you guys, but in reality, I have more in common with the folks sitting around me that I'm teaching than I have with those guys outside. I'm sure if we were part of Jesus' family on that day, we would probably feel very disappointed about this statement. But this is true. This is real. Now, listen to me, people of God. Your physical, biological family is real, but your spiritual family is not less real than your physical family. As a matter of fact, Jesus is saying here that his spiritual family is even much more real than the physical family. Now, I know that some of you are going to contend with that, and I trust that the Holy Spirit is going to help you to be able to chew that and understand it. Jesus is saying, you see these folks that are sitting beside me that I'm teaching? I have a connection with them, and the connection is not less real than those guys outside. I have a father. So in the true context, this is what Jesus is saying, and that applies to you if you're saved, you are born again, you have made Jesus your Lord and Savior. You don't just belong to one family. You actually have two families. You have a physical family that you belong to. Some of you are parents, mothers, fathers. Some of you are children. You are even though you are adults, you're still children. To your parents, you have those ones as part of your family. You are related to them. Some of you have brothers and sisters. You have siblings. Some of you have extended folks, uncles, aunts, and stuff like that. But that is not just the only family you've got. You've also got the spiritual family, which consists of the Father. You have a Father. God the Father is part of your family. Jesus is actually a member of your family. The Bible calls him the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, your eldest brother, so to speak, is Jesus. So you have a spiritual family connected to that. But not just limited to that, you also have a connection with the disciples of Jesus, the people of God, saved folks that have been saved and washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are your brethren. So in this instance, the people that you do life with may be church members, church families, and they don't have to belong to your local assembly before they are your brothers and your sisters. As far as long as they are born again and they have made Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they are part of your family. And this is what Jesus is saying. I don't just have a physical family, I have a spiritual family. The same applies to you if you're born again. You don't just have a physical family, you have a spiritual family. And like I said, your spiritual family is not less real than your physical family. As a matter of fact, your spiritual family is even much more real than your physical family. You know, because to all intents and purposes, we are always trusting the Lord that the hand of the Lord is going to be on our physical family for them to be changed, for them to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But in the unfortunate instance whereby our physical family don't have any relationship with Jesus, the sad reality is that we are not going to have any connection with them outside of this planet called Earth. That's a sad reality. And that's why many of us are actually always pained when we see our physical family members, you know, not recognizing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because after the expiration of the time that we have here on earth, unfortunately, we are disconnected from them forever. You know, this is what makes the spiritual family even much more real, because you're going to do life with these guys forever. Now, so Jesus is saying there are two family orders. There is a physical and there is a spiritual family. So appreciate existing family orders. Number two, acknowledge the conflict between family preferences. Acknowledge the conflict between family preferences. What do I mean by that? Now, because these two family orders I've talked about, they operate on different planes, more often than not, their preferences are different. And so, because family orders is a function of relationship, I mean, the reason why we call it a physical family or biological family is because you have relationship with them. The same way, the reason why we call it a spiritual family is because you have a relationship with God and with the saints of God, the saved people. Now, but unfortunately, these two family orders often have preferences that are not exactly aligned. Now, that doesn't mean one of them is bad and the other is good. That just means that the two of them don't operate on the same platform, not on the same plane. And so there might be instances when you actually have the preference of one coming in opposition to the preference of the other. And that's exactly what we see in this place. The Bible says about this particular instance, Jesus was in a place he was teaching. And like I said, his biological parents or his biological mother and his siblings, they came around, you know, and they said, Jesus, come outside. I've told you that they have come to take him outside. Now, that is the preference of his biological family. But that's not the preference of his spiritual family. The spiritual family, which in this instance consists of God and, of course, the brethren sitting around him, the Bible refers to them as the disciples, they wanted him inside the building. That's just a clear picture of the conflict that arises sometimes between the requirement or the preference, the preference of the physical, biological family coming against the preference of the spiritual family. God, the Father, is saying, Jesus, I want you in. Keep teaching the disciples. The physical family, the brothers and the mother say, we are outside and we are here waiting for you, asking you to come outside. And like I told you, the idea was not just to talk to Jesus and send him back inside to continue his teaching. No, the idea was actually to take him home because they felt he was actually running beside himself. They felt he was mad. Now, while the biological family is asking him to come out, the spiritual family is asking him to stay in there. And so the preferences of these family holders are in conflict of some sort. And this is not the first time that Jesus is going to be experiencing this. You remember in Luke chapter number 2, the story, Jesus was just 12. And he went with his family to the place called Jerusalem. Usually they would go to Jerusalem for some special feast. You know, Passover it was this time. So Jesus was with his family and they were there. And the feast was over and everyone was going back to their respective places, you know, where they came from. And of course, Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, they went back. But as they were going back, Jesus was not in their company. They assumed that he must be with the company of other family members, you know, friends and stuff like that, you know. And so after they had moved and they had walked about a day or so, they felt, okay, let's check out Jesus with other family members. And they started checking, you know, is Jesus with the cousin? Is he with the uncle? And they checked around and they couldn't find Jesus. So they concluded that Jesus was actually not part of the people that were moving back to their different places. So they had to come back to Jerusalem to find Jesus. After 3 days, think about that. If you're a parent, you're looking for your child for 3 solid days. And then they came into the temple and they found Jesus. Jesus was actually having conversation with the teachers of the law. And they were obviously livid. They were mad with Jesus and they were not impressed. I mean, you are here 3 days. We've been looking for you, and you didn't know that you needed to have looked for your family to go back with them. This is not your base. And you remember what Jesus told them. Look at it. Luke chapter number 2, verse 48. Luke chapter number 2, verse 48. This is what Jesus said to them. Luke chapter number 2. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Now, stop there. Now, if you have a child who is 12 years old and you are asking this conversation, and the first thing he said, why did you seek me? What's going to be going through your mind as a parent? Is this boy okay? Is he fine? Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Now, if you were Joseph, what were you going to be saying? Oh, Mary? He's got another father, not me? Thank God Joseph knew the story all along. I mean, he was part of all of this. But Jesus is saying, I've got another father. Don't you get it? I've got another family. I'm not just your child. Yes, I'm your child, but that's not all about me. And exactly the same way it is with us. So we come to a point where there is a crisis between the preference of the physical and the preference of the spiritual. Jesus is here saying, I need to be doing this. This is the preference of my spiritual father. Even though it does not, to all intents and purposes, coincide with your own preference. So exactly the same thing is repeated now. This is fast forward about 18 years thereafter Jesus is having this ministry. As a matter of fact, what happened in Luke chapter number 2, the Bible says Mary kept this in her heart. So I'm sure that when what happened in Matthew chapter number 12 eventually happened, Mary was not particularly surprised, because by now she must have known this guy, referring to Jesus, you know, this son of mine, has more than one family. He's got more than one family. And so there are instances when there are conflicts between the family, the physical, biological family, and the spiritual one. So the first thing, like we said, appreciate existing family orders. Number two, acknowledge the conflict between family preferences. And number three, please don't miss this for anything. This is worth coming to church for. Now, number three, align family positions. This is the crux of the matter. We need to align family positions. This is what Jesus will be saying to them. I need you to align the biological family position with the spiritual family position. You need to align the position of the biological family, and you need to align it with the position of the spiritual family. Now, is it family first? Absolutely. It's still family first. But the question we need to ask ourselves, especially in this different time, is which family is first? Which family are we talking about? Are we talking about the physical or the spiritual family first? And Jesus is saying, you need to align one with the other. And the one that needs to take precedence over the other is the spiritual family. So the spiritual family is first, and then you align your physical family alongside it. Now, listen to me, people of God. Each time we're talking about this conflict of preferences of family orders, one of the things that makes us get discouraged and we get exasperated about the situation is because you usually think in terms of balancing things. You know, you've come across people and say, you know, I need to balance up. I need to balance up my time, you know, with God. I need to balance it up with my family, you know. Family is key. Family is first. And like I said, I don't think there is anyone that is in his right mind that will rubbish the position of the family, because family is actually key, is important. Now, so we want to balance things out. But, you know, ideally, it's not an idea, it's not an issue to be balanced. It's an issue to be aligned. Stay with me and I'll explain what I mean by that. You know, to balance things, you're talking about, okay, I need to do it this way. I attend to this one this time and then run to the other one and attend to it. So you are trying to balance things up. But what Jesus is asking you to do is this. Why don't you prioritize your spiritual family, and let there be an alignment between that spiritual family that you have prioritized with your biological family. Now, this is the way it works. Our spiritual family is real. Like I told you, it's real. Our physical family is certainly real. Now, in serving our physical family, our biological family, we need to bring that physical biological family in alignment, properly aligned with what our spiritual family actually requires. Our spiritual family actually dictates the pace of things. So our physical family is just aligned with it so that it actually derives its power from what takes place at the level of our spiritual family. Now, let me put it this way. When you go to change your tires and stuff like that, I understand that there is something that is called wheel alignment. Now, wheel alignment involves a series of adjustments and measurements of the complex steering and suspension alignment angles, such that they want a situation where your wheel is perpendicular to the ground and at the same time is parallel to each other. Now, if you have ever driven a car that is not in proper alignment, you understand what I'm talking about. It's you know, it's shaky. It's not smooth. But once it's properly aligned, then it goes smoothly. That's exactly what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to jettison your physical family, but he wants you to align it and bring it under your spiritual family, so such that your spiritual family, which is your relationship with God, primarily, and of course by extension, your relationship with His church, is going to be such that you're going to be able to derive the strength to be able to manage your physical family from the spiritual one. At the moment, on the surface, it looks as if it is one against the other. But if you actually walk into it and you walk by the Spirit, you will discover that it is actually all and one same piece. It's just that one needs to be aligned under the together with the other. You know, the other time I was asked that I needed to. I believe some of you know that I'm a medical practitioner. I was asked to run services in two medical practices. you know, specific services into medical practices. There was a particular specialist requirement, you know, that they wanted me to run in these two centers. Now, and I started cracking my brain. So how do I make sure that I'm here on some days and I'm on the other side on other days? And then the idea came, obviously from some other people, you know, smarter than me, that, look, you really don't need to go to those two centers. Why don't you stay in one primary center, and then we can set up something, you know, a telehealth, so that you are able to put in your schedule, in your diary, on a day-to-day basis, times that you're going to be available on this side, and then we're going to slot in your patients on the other side, and you're going to be able to see them and talk to them and manage them through telehealth. I said, that's a fantastic idea. I mean, that was when, you know, that was obviously before all of this COVID thing necessitated that we actually do it this way. A lot of telehealth has, you know, kind of come up in the last 18 months or so because of COVID issue. Now, So I didn't need to balance things running from A to B. I just needed to align B with A. So right now I'm in one center, but I'm able to manage this center and that center. Exactly the same way it is. God wants your relationship with Him to be so strong so that you derive both the wisdom and the power to be able to run your physical family. As a matter of fact, listen to me this way. The easiest way to mismanage the treasure of your physical family is to be inactive in your spiritual family. That's the easiest way. To mess up the arrangement of your physical family is for you to be inactive in your spiritual family. So what Jesus is saying is, let the strength that you derive from your spiritual family, which is your relationship with God and with His church. Don't forget the word, I'm using the word His church, because it's the church of Jesus Christ. I mean, we happen to be a part of that. It's the church of Jesus Christ, so that your participation in His church, together with your relationship with your Father, actually forms the center, as it were, the fulcrum of what drives the agenda of your physical home and physical family. This is exactly what it means when you talk about bringing your physical family into alignment with that of the spiritual family. You know, the easiest way to actually have a great family is to support or to encourage people in your family to have a relationship with God. When people in your family have a sound relationship with God, then it spills over into your physical family. Now, I've seen this play again over and over and over again. You know, the other time I was having a conversation with someone and I said, now, I don't know how to put, men and women who, when they see their husband or their wives or the person that they are in relationship with, trying to foster a relationship, trying to develop their relationship with God, and they are trying to take them away from that. In their own limited understanding, they think that when somebody is getting closer to God, then it's taking them away from, you know, from themselves or from the family. But the converse is true. The closer somebody is to God, ideally, and this is if it's actually a relationship with God and not one of these religious practices, it is going to drive, it's going to supply the strength, the grace, and the wisdom to be able to drive the agenda of the home, of this physical family. So if you are a wife, for instance, and you see your husband, you know, getting involved in the things of God, growing in the things of the Spirit, you should applaud him. You should encourage him. You should support him. Why? Because you know exactly that if he prospers in the spiritual family, it is bound by covenant to actually translate into your physical home. And so there is no reason to begin to draw your son or your daughter who is getting fervent in the things of God away from that. Thinking that he's going away from you. No, he's not going away from you. He's going nowhere. As a matter of fact, by the time he gets grounded in that relationship with God, he's going to spill over. The positive effect is going to spill over to your physical family. By the grace of God, my wife and I, we've been married for close to 20 years now. You know, and I say this with all sense of modesty, not bragging, okay? Church, you know I don't brag, okay? With all sense of modesty, we've not had one situation that we've needed to actually ask another person to come to help us to solve or to speak to us about. Now, make no mistakes, I'm not saying that people that have had such experiences are immature or they don't know what they're doing or maybe they are not Christians or they have lost their salvation. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we have never needed to get another person involved, not even family members, not parents, not friends, no one. And I can attribute that to the fact that individually, before we met and after we have met, we have always encouraged each other to foster our relationship with the Lord, develop our understanding of the way the spiritual family works, get grounded in the church of Christ. The Bible calls it the pillar and the ground of truth. Get to love the Lord, get to serve the Lord. Now, because that actually feeds into what takes place in the family. I can't tell you how many times that maybe when one thing or the other happens, I mean, because we still have our issues from time to time. I can't tell you how many times that the Lord will have to speak to me. You know, you need to go back to your wife and go and say this to her, you know, and the Lord will prescribe exactly what I need to say. Sometimes they are not actually things I want to say. You know, if you're married, you know there are times that you really don't want to say sorry, you know. And then you just go and say, okay, you know, it's just because the Lord spoke to me. I really didn't want to come to you and say sorry, and say sorry to you, you know. You know what? The strength and the wisdom to manage the physical family is being drawn from that spiritual relationship. What I'm saying, people of God, is this, especially to men and women. It is important, if you love that family of yours, you need to work on your relationship at the spiritual platform. The more you work on that, the more you allow God to draw you in into himself. The more you allow God to actually also spread you in order to be able to be part of his church. His church. And when I'm talking about his church, I'm not just talking about attending programs, attending church events. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being involved in a local assembly in a way and manner that God is able to use you to minister to people in that setting, whatever way that he wants to do. By the time you do that, God is working on your heart, is working on your intellect, is working on your character, and is working on you in such a way that you are able to grow closer and closer to him and be grounded in him. And so you are able to take the advantage of that, the power, the grace, the wisdom, the influence, the intellect, the ability from that spiritual level, you are able to bring it to bear into your physical family. And that's the way to do it. People of God, you need to bring your family in alignment with God, with your spiritual family. Talking about alignment, you know, many years ago, as I round up this morning, as a young boy, I flew kites. No, the kites I flew were not, they are not the kind you're used to now. They are kites made from, you know, plastics and broomsticks, you know. And then we put them together in such a way that they will fly, you know. But I gave up on that particular sport quite quickly because no matter how much I tried to run, my kites were not just going up in the sky, you know. They were always following me around, you know, doing all of those circular motion. And I would run and I would sweat. But it will not just fly. And then I observe other people. After they have made their kites exactly the same way I've made mine, they will just take a little bit of, you know, a short dash, a small run. And then when they get to a particular spot, they will wait. Because now the kite is somewhere in the sky. And then they won't run any further. And then what they would then start to do is that they would just start to do what we call pulling the string. So if they pull the string, they release the string. They pull it, they release it. And as they are doing that, the kite is going up in the sky. And I used to ask myself, so why is my kite not flying? It was later I realized that there is a spot in the sky somewhere, you know, up there, that the dynamics of the hair is able to, the kite is able to come into a sort of alignment with the dynamics of the hair, the flow of the hair. You know, I didn't realize this until much later when I started doing what they call fluid mechanics. You know, if some of you that have done a bit of engineering will understand that. So there is a portion in the hair, you won't see it, but there is the movement of the hair such that there is a point where the kite can actually sit in alignment and such that the breeze that is moving, it's not just moving to the side, is actually pushing it up. And those guys have been so smart to be able to locate that, and they just start pulling and releasing and pulling and releasing. And before you know it, their sky is up there. But here is your boy running 100 meters, you know, and then the kite is not flying. People of God, This is the truth. There is a place that you can so align your physical family, so align with your physical family, with the spiritual family, your relationship with God central, your participation with His church, Jesus' church. And you're so able to position your family such that you don't struggle and sweat to get the fly moving forward or moving upwards, because you are now in a position of alignment. This morning, I'm asking you, people of God, the problem is not really the problem about your family. The problem that many men and women, many couples are having is because they have not come to a place where they have been able to align their physical family with what takes place at the spiritual level, at the spiritual family level. And can I say that your physical family welfare or well-being is too important to be left to what you are able to offer them unaided, unsupported? The welfare of your physical family is too important that you cannot just leave it to what you can supply. You need to bring it into alignment with what goes on in the realm of the spiritual family such that you are able to get some traction. And I'm asking you to do that today. That's what wise people do. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. But it is important that you appreciate that there is an alignment situation. There is an alignment problem. And that's why some of us are having the troubles that we're having. I'm asking you to make it today. To make family first. Keep family first. But yet, not just your physical family first, but your spiritual family first. Let your physical family derive strength, nourishment, grace, insight on what takes place at the level of your spiritual family, which is your relationship with God and your participation and involvement with His body called the Church of God. Let us pray.